Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan, marhaba. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Friday Fusion with Akiran. It's a hot and cold day here in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. Well, that's where this program is coming to you live from. I'm wondering, what's the weather like in your part of the world? Well, wherever you're listening to us from, it's great being your company this Friday afternoon. I'm not sure what you're doing right. Perhaps just finishing off that meal of biryani or dal and rice or whatever it may have been. This afternoon, you're all snuggled up. If you're in the KZN area and it's all cold and overcast, you're probably snuggled up with a big bowl of popcorn, sitting and listening to your favorite radio station, Radio Islam International. It's lovely being in your company this Friday afternoon. Listening to the program, please, at any point in the program, you are most welcome, rather. You could simply drop me a WhatsApp or text message on the number 061-406-2688. So what is it that you can expect on the program this Friday afternoon? Starting right off, I'm going to be asking you a question. But this question is going to be very specifically related to our first discussion that we'll be having in the program. So the question I'm asking today is, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? Now I know the life that we have here on this dunya is very transitory, and we don't even know if we're going to live till tomorrow. But the reason I ask this question is because, and you will understand more so after the ad break when I discuss the ayah from Surah Yasin, and it was something that I discussed with the students yesterday, and it really struck a chord, and I felt that, you know, I wanted to discuss this ayah on air today because something so pertinent. And perhaps we read Surah Yasin every morning and we read this ayah. Yes, even for myself, until I actually discussed it with the students yesterday, did it not strike such a chord in me. And, you know, I had like this moment where I sat and I just thought and pondered about it. And it really was a different feeling to now look at this ayah in a different manner. Well, more of that after this ad break. When we return from that first discussion though, as you know, we do Surah Yusuf in the program. And inshallah, this week we're going to be discussing how exactly Yusuf alayhi salam used his role as, remember the king appointed him and he called him Makinun Amin, that he was a very trustworthy person, but at the same time he was very knowledgeable. So this is why the king had appointed him upon the treasury of the land. So yes, inshallah, we're going to be discussing that from Surah Yusuf. And then to wrap up the discussion, your female masail queries. So whatever female masail queries you may have this week in particular, I think we're going to do a bit of a refresher on the usual hayd and istihada queries, as there have been a few that have come in the week. And I think there needs to be a bit of a refresher on that one. So yes, that's the question that we're going to be taking right at the end. But remember, this is an interactive program. So at any point, you can call in or you can drop me a message, inshallah. And I will be happy to take your call or respond to your message. The date then, what is it? It is the 14th of October, the 12th of Muharram. What exactly are you doing this 12th day of Muharram? Let us know. It's now time for that first ad break. When we return, inshallah, we go straight into the discussion from Surah Yasin. Welcome back to the program Friday Fusion, and you're with me, Sakira and Sermia. This is the second segment, well, after the intro, the first segment of the program. Normally in this segment, what we discuss is some motivation. Often, you know, the motivation is something that perhaps I've read up in the week, or even an incident that has really inspired me or motivated me for the week, and I felt that I needed to share it with you. Well, subhanAllah, yesterday my motivation and inspiration for the week came from a lesson that I did with my students at Madrasa. Alhamdulillah, we've come to the fifth ruku of Surah Yasin. And in this fifth ruku of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something absolutely thought-provoking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Sadaqullahul Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whomsoever, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ, and whomsoever we age or we grant long life to, نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. Now this comes from نَكَّسَ. So it means to reverse or to degenerate, to go backwards now. نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. We reverse him in creation. What is Allah? He's referring to ya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the whole process of life. So when we are small and when we are just born, we don't know how to talk, we don't know how to eat, first milk, and then from there it goes on to a bit of pureed food, and it goes on to a bit of mashed up solids, and then finally into solid food. And like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نُنَكِّسُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. When you have come to an old age, we see how it is with the aged in our family. Things seem to go back. They lose their sense of balance and they can't really walk around that much anymore. They take little baby steps even if they have to walk. Some of them, Allah not make it such for our elders, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep them healthy and strong, but some of them end up being bedridden and they cannot use the toilet on their own, so then they even go into diapers again, similar to how a baby would wear diapers. On the other hand, with regards food as well, initially they could not, you know, when it comes to a point, they were used to eating solids, but then as they get older it doesn't digest, so the food needs to be mashed and then it needs to be pureed, and then sometimes they are only on liquids. Why is this? This is all a cycle of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a lesson in this. And the lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in this is that don't take life for granted. Don't take the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, be it 40 years, 50 years, 60 years or 70 years, don't take this life for granted. And subhanallah, and day in and day out we read Surah Yasin. We read it in the morning because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to do so by saying that whoever reads Surah Yasin in the morning, fi sadrin nahar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases his, whatever his hawaij, whatever his needs are for the day. And it is mentioned that whoever reads it at the end of the day, then all his minor sins are forgiven as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has this prompt, means of encouraging us to, even though we read it every day, have we ever stopped and pondered on the ayahs of this beautiful surah? Myself included. Yesterday when I did this ayah with the students, I stopped and I asked myself the question, every day, that's asking us to ponder on it. How often do we stop and ponder? Now today, my dear listeners, my dear sisters out there, I ask you, what is it that we are doing with our life? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us 40 or 50 years of life, that we are on this earth from the time we are born till now, what have we done to change things around us? Firstly, to change ourselves, and then to change things around us, our environment, our communities. If we are 35 perhaps, or perhaps we are 27, or perhaps we are a bit older, we are 52, whatever it may be, or however, you know, no matter how old we may be, what are we doing in our communities, in our societies, in our own lives, in our own family circles, to change things around us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this life and He's given us the responsibility. And in this ayah He reminds us that a time will come when we will go back to this old age. A time will come when we will go back to this inability. And we will go back to a state of inability where we won't be able to do anything anymore. So in this prime of our life that Allah has given us, in this prime years of our life, this is the time we are supposed to make a difference to our own lives and to the lives of those around us. So my question for myself And the question that I'm leaving you with today is, how are we going to make a difference from today in our own lives and in the lives of those around us? And that is why when I started off the program, I said, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? If you are 27, at 37, what do you see yourself doing? If you are 35, at 45, how do you see yourself progressing? And if you are 52, then at 62, do you see yourself being prepared for the Qabr and the Akhirah? I'm not saying that only the old need to prepare for the Qabr or the Akhirah, but generally, as we get older, the realization of our death is something that is more prominent and something that plays more on our minds. So my question is, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? How do you see yourself? In what position? How do you see yourself progressing? How do you see yourself making an impact on the lives of those around you? Be it your family, be it your community, be it your society, the larger community, your society at large. What difference are you going to be making? Ask yourself this question this afternoon and really introspect and see how you can make a difference and what changes you can start making in your own life. And in order for you, or as a means for you to make change in the lives of others, we know that it always starts with yourself. And this is why at the end of this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a most rhetorical manner asks, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ? Don't they understand? In other words, Allah is leaving us with this question because Allah wants us to think, to ponder, and to reflect. And make these changes in our life, because we need to understand that when it comes, we can't do as much as we used to anymore, then we need to be at a point of satisfaction where we can say that, Alhamdulillah, when Allah gave me the strength of my youth, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept me healthy, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the wealth, then I used it in His cause. I used it in the path of Allah. And therefore I have no regrets now that I am old and now that I am infirm and now that I am unable to do all those things that I could do. And just to end off with a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us much hope. And to those that are aged today and to those that are listening to the program that feel they cannot do as much as they used to do, remember that the Prophet ﷺ has promised us in a hadith to the effect that a person who during his health and whilst having wealth used it in the course of Allah, in other words, when he was healthy, he prayed extra nafl salah, he fasted the nafl fast, he used his wealth for the service of deen. When he is not so healthy anymore, when he is not so wealthy anymore, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will depute an angel to still write down for him these hasanat as he did when he was healthy or when he was wealthy. So subhanallah, that is the motivation and inspiration I leave you with this afternoon here in this first segment of our program, where we often motivate and inspire each other. Sometimes the motivation and inspiration even comes from messages the listeners send me. But today, the motivation and inspiration has come from a surah that we read each and every day. So the next time you read this ayah in Surah Yasin, in the fifth ruku of Surah Yasin, reflect and ponder on the meaning of this ayah and ask yourself how you will be making a difference. It's now time for that second ad break of the hour when we return, inshallah, Surah Yusuf. You're back with me, Zakir Anthony, on the program Friday Fusion. And guests are saying, ad break, where do you see yourself in 10 years? One of the listeners saying, very thought-provoking indeed. And yes, they are taking the time now to think about it. Well, don't be shy. Call in, because we're here at the studio to listen to you, to take your calls. My engineer is standing by. The number is 011-854-1548. Or as the other listener has done, just drop me a message and let me know where you see yourself in 10 years or any other part of the program that you are. 9061-406-2688. And then, as the sisters would know, if you would like to send in your if you would like to send in your queries with regards Hayz, Nifas and Istihada, you may also do so, and inshallah I will discuss them on the program in the last segment, that is the female Masail segment. Well, okay then, we're ready to do our Surah Yusuf discussion, and inshallah today we are starting from the point of the Surah where Yusuf alayhi salam mentioned to the king something very different, and he said, "Ij'alni." Let's do a quick recap then, right? So in right through now, we've been discussing how Yusuf alayhi salam was in prison, and then how he dealt with those people that went to prison with him, the two people he interpreted their dreams, and then finally Yusuf alayhi salam came to the point where one of them who had been let out remembered that Yusuf alayhi salam had interpreted his dream for him. Hence, he told the king, when the king had a very strange dream, that I'll go to someone and I will get your dream interpreted for you. And like that, he found Yusuf alayhi salam and got the king's dream interpreted. And the king was absolutely excited about this. And because of this, the king decided that he was going to ask Yusuf alayhi salam to come out of the prison, or release him from prison rather, and make him part of his palace, part of his kingdom. So the king did this, but before he did this, Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to exonerate himself and let the people of Israel back to the king, and finally his name was cleared. Now at this point, when Yusuf alayhi salam when Yusuf alayhi salam was called, and he said, the king said to him, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ تُونِي بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي, bring him to me so that I may attach him to myself, meaning so that I may keep him specifically in my kingdom, because he's a man that has such a talent that it will definitely help me. So then Yusuf alayhi salam, فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ, he said that, you know what, when he spoke to him, he said, verily this day you are someone, on this day you are someone who is very high in rank in my eyes, and you are fully trustable. So Yusuf alayhi salam then mentioned, and he said, fine, I understand now that, you know, how you feel about me, but this is what I would like to do for you. So he said, قَالَ اِجْأَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ, make me in charge of the storehouses of your land. إِنِّي حَفِظِ, I will take, but at the same time, I am alim, I am knowledgeable about this matter, and I will be able to help you when, remember what the whole dream was about? It was about how Misr was going to go into an arm, it was going to go into a period of drought, and so Yusuf alayhi salam here was actually telling him that, now when it's a period of drought and stuff like this, so allow me to be in charge of your storehouses, so that when it comes to this time, I am knowledgeable of how to run this whole treasury for you, and I will be able to give you maximum benefit. Now the question arises, when Yusuf alayhi salam said something like this, that I am Hafiz and Alim, is it, do we look at this and we say that when somebody says things like this, are they being proud? Are they showing off? Or is it fine to do this? And the fuqaha from this take a ruling, and they say that actually when a person is knowledgeable in a problem, take your knowledgeability in that field to the person asking about it, because in fact you are not being proud about it, and you are not bragging or boasting about it, Rather, you are plainly placing your credentials in front of them, because the person may never know. If Yusuf alayhi salam didn't let him know that he was knowledgeable about, you know, taking care of the state treasury, etc., the king would have never known. Perhaps he would have just made Yusuf alayhi salam one of the courtiers or one of the ministers, feeling that the next time he had a dream, Yusuf alayhi salam would be able to interpret his dream. But Yusuf alayhi salam could do much more than that. And Yusuf alayhi salam wanted him to know that. Therefore, the fuqaha say it's totally fine. This is not in a way of kibar. Rather, this is in a way of allowing people to know what it is that you can do. So it's absolutely fine if you're preparing a CV and you're about to dispatch it and send it off wherever you're applying for a job, to in an honest manner, in a truthful manner, state all your various work experiences, because it is a way of you letting them know what your credentials are, so that they can give you the best possible job that would suit you, and also they could understand all your, abilities, all your capabilities, and hence it will also allow them to put you in a suitable position. Because sometimes if people don't understand what it is that you can do, perhaps you are put into such a position in your workplace that it's not necessarily something that you feel challenged with. It's not necessarily something that you feel is the best job for you to do. And afterwards, what tends to happen is then you get bored, you tend to start, you become lackluster about the work that you do, simply because you don't feel you are challenged anymore. So subhanAllah, even our deen encourages us. We should never be lackadaisical about the work that we do. We should allow ourselves to be portrayed in the best light possible in terms of our credentials. And this for the only and the sole reason, so that we can get the best possible job. And when we go to work every day, it can be a challenge for us. We can be excited about go to work that I'm the best, doing what I do, and I'm going to give it my best. Okay, so that was the discussion about Yusuf alayhi salam saying that. Okay, back to move on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like this, we gave full authority to Yusuf alayhi salam in this land of Misr and Egypt, and he took position therein, when or where he likes. So, minha haythu yasha, in other words, the position that he was now given was one where he had full control, and now he could do as he liked. Then Allah says, nusibu bi rahmatina man nasha, that this mercy of ours, we bestow it on whomsoever we wish. وَلَا نُضِيءُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and the good doers, we never ever let their rewards go to waste. So Yusuf alayhi salam, sabr that he had in prison, and he never complained, and he used his time there to the best of his ability, all this was not something that went in vain. All this was something that was not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't, allow all of these actions of his just to pass by without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarding him accordingly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took all of this into consideration, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such a position now. And when we see how this position led to him being reunited with his family, we will understand that this was all in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grand plan and grand scheme of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَالْأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةُ وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. But never forget that even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards in this dunya, and he doesn't let the reward of the good doers go to waste in this dunya, in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a better reward. Allah says, وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ. It is better for them. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا for those who believe, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ and they have full consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for those who are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who remember that they need to be wary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations, even though right now, my dear sister, you may be in a situation that feels compromising and you feel that it's very difficult for you to act upon your deen. Hold steadfast and act upon your deen. Hold steadfast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Color yourself in the color of deen. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Sibghatullah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغَةً. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, color yourself in the color of deen. So continue acting upon what Islam and what the Sharia wants from you. Why? Because even though now it may be difficult for you to act upon it, it may be difficult for you to take the stance, remember that what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the ayah before? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never la nudhiyu ajr al muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever lets the reward of the that no matter how difficult the situation we may be in right now, it may seem like a very testy situation. It may seem like something that, you know, it's not exactly the most easy of situations to get yourself through. But try your best. Do your best. Remember that you are Muslim. And there is only one way that a Muslim can do things, and that is by putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Deen of Islam first. And even though it may be very, very difficult in the situation that you are in right now, remember that there will come a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you ease, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you khayr and afiyah in such a manner that you will never ever be able to understand how or why you are even being blessed with so much of khayr and so much of goodness in your life. Well, that's where we leave it for Surah Yusuf today. And inshallah, in next week's discussion, we pick up back on the story. So this was a little bit, speaking about how we can work on our ihsan, work on our good character, our story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and he tells us, so Yusuf alayhi salam now became the minister of finance, if we could say that, in the land of Misr. And what happened? Well, Allah says in the next ayah, وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers came to him. Well, very interesting, isn't it? Now we'd like to see these brothers that did Yusuf alayhi salam so much of wrong, you know, that had wronged him in such a manner, how was it that he reacted to them? Well, you'll have to stay tuned to next week's program to learn more about that, inshallah. And program for that final advert of the hour. And when we return, inshallah, our famous Isle segment. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the program. And yes, in this final segment of the program, we normally discuss female masail queries. So inshallah, we're going to be doing just that. There have been a few that have come in the past week, I'm assuming because it was also the fast of Muharram. So we're just going to do a bit of reiteration on the whole aspect of hayd and when it is hayd and when it is istihara. Inshallah, this refresher will help some of the sisters who from time to time it's a bit confusing. So let's remember that the golden rules are that if you are Hanafi, then you can bleed for 10 days continuously. And if you are Shafi'i, then you can bleed for 15 days continuously. The minimum clean period between two hayd periods is 15 clean days, and the maximum can be anywhere from 15 to as long as whatever, you know, it can be a month, 2 months. Some people, due to irregular menstrual habits, 2 months. So there really is no maximum But the minimum is 15 clean days. Then the other rule that we also need to discuss, which is very important, is with regards being a mu'tada or a mutahayyira. The mu'tada is the lady who has a set habit. So if the lady who has a set habit happens to bleed for more than her set habit on 1 month, what does she do? The answer is that in the first that she bleeds out of set habit. So normally she has a set habit of 7 days. But in this month, she bleeds for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, she stops bleeding. Fifth day, she's clean. Sixth day, she starts seeing some spotting again. But it's not really much of a flow. And the seventh day, the spotting continues. And by the seventh day, it all clears up. The eighth day she takes a, and then it all clears up. So this lady is now confused. After 3 days, was she supposed to resume her salah? Or was she supposed to have waited till the seven days were over and then take a ghusl on the eighth day? The answer is that if you are a mu'tada, a lady with a set habit, and you have the set cycle, every month you bleed from a certain day to a certain day, and you only bleed 7 days, etc. So sometimes, for some women, it may not be that you get your haid on the same date specifically every month. Perhaps it's like, you know, it varies 1 or 2 days, but more or less, the time is right. It's not like way off by a week or something like that. A day or two is normal, right? So then you are still considered mu'tada. So for this lady, who this first month now, she only bled for 3 days. And by the fourth day, she was clean and she saw nothing. For this first month, she will have to wait day 4, day 5, day 6, and only on day 7, like she normally does, she will then only be able to take a ghusl. So for this sister who saw the spotting on day 5 and 6, this spotting was also considered haid. So please do not think that only when the bleeding is there, then it's haid, and on the third day now you can take your ghusl and you can start your salah. No, this will not be the case. Because it is the first month that this is happening. So because of that, you will take your last month's haid habit into account and you will wait the 7 days out. That's number one. Number two is that if this happens in a second month, and consecutively, which is why it is so important for us to diarize our dates, to diarize our habits, and to see when there are any changes that are occurring. So in the second month now, the same thing occurs, and after 3 days, you stop bleeding, then you will know that now your haid habit has changed. And for some women, as you get older, the days that you bleed become less. Especially when you are perimenopausal, then the days that you are going to bleed are going to become less. The flow that you get is going to become less. So please take account of all these things, because in the first month you will be able to use your old cycle. But from the second month, if it persists in this manner, your cycle has become less than your 7 days, and now it's gone to 5 days or 3 days, or even your flow has gone from being a heavy flow to a much lighter flow, a lot of spotting, and that's about it. No matter what it is, for any time that your habit changes, in the first month you will consider your old habit, from the second month onwards you will consider, if it's the same, you will consider that now you are in a new habit. And know that if you are Hanafi, there is a minimum haiz period. And the minimum haiz period is 3 days and it's nights. If you are Shafi'i, your minimum haiz period is 1 day and 1 night. When I say minimum haiz period, I mean that in order for you to consider it haiz, you need to have got your haiz for, if you are Hanafi, 3 days and 3 nights. If you are Shafi'i, 1 day and 1 night. Okay, so we've explained mu'tada. Now let's move on to mutahayyira, the lady who doesn't have a set cycle, the lady who is hayran, the lady who is confused because every month her cycle is different. 1 month she bleeds 3 days, the next month she bleeds 5 days. 1 month she gets a haid in the beginning of the month, the next month she gets it on the 15th, the next month she gets it at the end of the month perhaps. So all you need to remember, my sister, is that you must have 15 clean days between In other words, even if you have a really weird cycle and you don't know when it's going to come, please, please, I implore you, keep a diary or write it on a calendar, wherever, you know, even if it's, you have your own personal death calendar, make a note, because one of the most confusing things is when you don't know when last you got your hayz and you can't remember. But when you took a ghusl, when you became clean, because then I, you know, not only myself, but nobody else can help you, because we need to have these dates in order to ascertain when was your hayz and when you got clean, to be able to assist you and tell you now whether what you are experiencing is hayz. So you need to have 15 clean days, sorry. And then, remember, as I mentioned, that there is a minimum amount. So if you, you know, it just started all of a sudden and now you're wondering whether this is your hayz or not, let it go for 3 salah times. And if you see it is flowing for 3 salah times, then you know that perhaps this is going to end up being your hayz. And then continuously watch it and see whether it lasts for 3 days. If after, even though it passed 3 salah times, but if after maybe 1 day and 1 night it stopped and you are Hanafi, then know that this cannot be your hayz. But also remember that if after 1 day and 1 night it stops, right? So you took a ghusl, now by the second day you missed 1 salah, so you let 1 salah time pass being clean, and then you go and you take a ghusl and you start praying salah again. So after this first day, you were absolutely clean, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5. By day 6, you start seeing a bleed again. Please be aware of the fact that now you will have to consider whatever bleeding you had on day 1 plus the bleeding on day 6 and all the days in between as hayz. I'm just going to repeat that one more time. You're going to have to consider day 1 and all the bleeding in between day 1 and day 6 as hayz. So that is with regards a mutahayyira, a lady who doesn't have a set cycle and bleeds inconsistently. Well, inshallah, that's all we have time for today. If you have any other queries with regards hayz, nifas, or istihada, you are most welcome to send them through. The number again, 061-406-2688. I also have a Facebook page, Zakira Ansar Mia, and a Twitter handle with the same name. So you can interact with me on any of these forums after the program as well. And inshallah, until we meet again next week, same time, same place, from me and my engineer, we ask you to remember us in your special du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.